You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Any announcements? Okay. If not, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's Galatians chapter 3, verses 20 through 23. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Right. Well, it's good to see you all here, and we've got all the props going, and we're pretty excited about that. And I'm quite excited about our series on Galatians. I hope that you've all enjoyed it thus far. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee again for another opportunity to meet together. We thank Thee for this church fellowship, Lord, that You've blessed it in the past, and we're looking forward to the great blessing in the future. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Right, well, there's a little correction I've got to make here, because we're up to part 11, and essentially we're looking at Galatians 3, 21 to 23. We started in our reading at verse 20, just to hook into what we've done before. And up here, I'm doing a little bit of an advert. I do have notes, but as you can see, they're very scratchy, and would be a seasoned veteran only, I suppose, that would be interested in going through them. Nonetheless, a lot of scriptures and more are in there. If you want them, you can email me, and I will attach them, and you can see them. Now, this is a basically a structural, a literary structure of the passages where we're moving into and where we've been. And we're looking basically at sections B and C here. Last time we looked at a lot of B, and we're moving into this C section as well. But if you just correspond a few things and look at how they work, if you look at chapter 2 and verse 21, that's in structural correspondence with where we're interested in at the moment, our center of interest. So let's just have a look at that. So in Galatians 2:21 it says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I do not frustrate. Now, going down to the next B section, the one that lines up with it, just look at chapter 3 and verse 15. And it says there, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. So now what he's doing is he's using the example common to man. And common to man would be common to those in that particular time. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. I do not frustrate the grace of God. So the covenant is the Galatian will, and that's taken as an example of the promise. So the promise is really put in with grace. And just as you cannot frustrate the grace of God, so you cannot frustrate, you cannot disannul the promise. Once it's confirmed, that's it. And when you come down to verse 17, it says, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, you've got the statement that, yes, it was confirmed. So it was confirmed. The word confirmed is really interesting, because in it is this word kuros, which means Lord. So it's being given the authority as a Lord. It's been given this authority. So when it's confirmed, it's made authoritative in practice. It's been confirmed. So you can't get out of it. Whatever it says, it has been confirmed. And then we're moving into the next section, which is 3. And you'll notice that here it's got the scripture concluded. And if you look at the next section, the corresponding section previously, the scripture preached before. The scripture preached before, and then you've got the scripture concluded. And we're going to discover some things about what the scripture has to say, and it has great impact on us. Why? Because there is an argument today about what is the place of the law. Many Christians believe that they need to put themselves under the law. Many people today wonder, well, how did the law work in the past? Yes, I don't agree that we should put the law on ourselves, but I don't understand how it worked in the past. Some of these questions are answered in these verses that we're going to look at shortly. So what I've done is I've just sort of put in here a few of the slides that we looked at last time as a way of connecting to past thought. The law cannot be and was added. The interpretation that says that the promise was added to the law gives you a contradiction. And so that cannot be. We believe in the scriptures that they are inspired of God. It does not make sense to say that the promise was added to the law. Otherwise, you get this interpretational contradiction. And we looked at this business of adding. And I don't pretend that you guys could possibly, in this, you know, hour, three-quarters of an hour, could go through all these passages. But when you do have the time, perhaps at home, and you go through them, every single time that this word added is used, you find that what it means is two things. One, it must connect like with like. That's the first thing. And every single passage in here, you'll find that's the case. When things are added, they're added to like things. And then, of course, the second thing is that it is indeed an addition. There is a summation that takes place. If you go right through all these, you come to the last one, and the last one turns out to be very instructive because it talks about the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words. And the context there we discovered was that Israel did not like to hear the direct voice and sound of God giving them instructions, adding instructions to them. They did not like that addition. That was an addition they did not like. So what they said was, oh, please, God, not from your mouth, but we will take a mediator. We will take Moses. And that was the context of this last particular passage. And that was an eye-opener, because then we could see, by going back to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and 18, we could see that indeed that the added law was added to what previously existed, and that was in Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments. So that was the added law. So that was quite interesting. And we saw that there's math in Galatians. Mathematics is in Galatians. Mathematics is everywhere. Don't you love that? No, I don't like that. So, I have L here for law. You get a bit of law, you add some more law, and you get even more law. That's what the algebra says. And that's the kind of addition that's taking place in Galatians 3. But here, P for promise, plus a bit of law, just gives you the promise, but a bit of law. There is no addition of like with like. There's no place for that. So the law must be added to law. That's what we came to. And then we went through this passage here, you know, the sound of a trumpet, the voice of words. And I put down the Greek. Pardon me for the Greek. I realize you don't all study Greek and so on. And so this is Greek. But the word here appears, that same word for addition. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words. Which voice? Those that heard begged that the word should not be added to them. That's what they begged. No, we don't want that. We don't want that from God. We don't want God to add to the word that was given. We want Moses to do it. And then we come to this passage about the mediator, but God is one. But God is one. And we went back to Genesis 15 and we discovered the meaning of that. That yes, Abram was put to sleep. Right here. Asleep. He couldn't argue with it. He said, oh yeah, this is an interesting thing here. God gave him the promise. And no one can change that. There's no two-party contractual agreement. It's God saying what he will do. And he will do it. And that's a great thing. That's a great thing. Man's out of the picture. Gone to sleep. Have you been put to sleep for a while? I had an operation to have my gallbladder removed. It's the most remarkable thing, isn't it? Okay, this person comes up to you and he says, okay, in 15 seconds you're gone. Okay, so just count down. And he goes, shh, like this. And you say, oh, I don't feel a thing. And the next thing, like that, someone's, Wake up, Wayne. You mean it's all done? Yeah, it's all done. And then the ache begins a little bit later on after that. Okay. But, yeah, that's what happened. He's put to sleep. More math! Mathematics! For if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. If I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. You know, one of the things we're going to discover more and more about the Bible is that it is a dispensational book. And if you try and build again things which have been destroyed, what you end up doing is you end up with a basis at the root of this word, parabatein. Is this word basis, which is a foot, which is where we get the word basis. And, you know, a basis in maths is something that's quite interesting. There's a certain number of these things, vectors, or whatever you want to call them. In linear algebra, they're vectors. And what you do is you use these foundational elements to span the vector space. So how do I put this into normal language? Well, you have certain truths. They're foundational truths. And from these foundational truths, you explain the world that you live in. The real world. That's what you explain. Now, if you have the right basis, then you can explain the real world. And you can live an intelligent life. Things fit with the scripture rightly divided. Now, if on the other hand you build again the things which were destroyed, then you end up being a transgressor. Because what you have is the wrong basis. You have a world that is not real. And you explain that unreal world with the wrong basis. And so what you need to do is, you need to take the red pill. You need, Morpheus, you need to morph. You need to change. Metamorphosis. You need to change, my friend. You need to be woken up to the reality of right division. You need to understand that the scriptures were given to be worked through. Some people say, but why is the Bible like this? Because that's God's nature. God's nature is that he wants us to work things through and explain things and compare spiritual with spiritual. He's interested in whether we will be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's his nature. No good complaining to me. He's the maker. We bear part of his image. Since the fall, part of it's been destroyed. But we bear some of it. Isn't it true that mankind is like that? We want to. We're like that. We want to find out why things work. We're finding out more and more about the creation. So here we are. We're in Galatians chapter 3. And I know that was the whirlwind tour of what happened. But, you know, we've got to move on. We do have to move on. It's lovely to wax on the things we kind of understand. But we've got to move forward. And that's what we'll do. We press to toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. So we've got to press forward. And so what we have in verse 21 and 22 and 23 is a remarkable section. It's going to answer a lot of questions that we have, or at least I have. Is the law then against the promises of God? So after establishing that you cannot add the law to the promises, and that the promise is going to be secure, you cannot disannul it, you cannot frustrate it because God made a promise, and that the law cannot frustrate these purposes, well then, a logical question arises. And that is what Paul does. He says here, is the law then, as a consequence of what we have just learned, is the law then against the promises of God? So a good question. And he's going to address this in two ways. He's going to show the purpose, first of all. What was the purpose of the law? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. I purposely read all the way through here in order that we get the sequence of events. Now let's go back to the question. Is the law then against the promises of God? The answer is God forbid. Now what does God forbid mean? What does it mean? It means may it never happen in the future. That's what it means. God forbid. Me gonoito. May it never happen in the future. For if there had been a law given, well, a law was given. So the emphasis here can't be on if. We know a law was given. But he's speaking hypothetically here now. If there had been a law given which could have given life, so the emphasis runs on to the could have given life, verily, truly, righteousness should have been by the law. So, life. What I've got then is this picture coming to mind. So here we have life. And we have promise. And then what we have is law. So, if a law had been given which could have given life, verily, righteousness would have been by the law. First thing is, notice that the righteousness is here equated with law, life. Righteousness equated with life. And that makes sense, doesn't it? And you think about the law, if a person could truly obey in truth the law, it would produce life. It truly would. But there's a big, big problem. See if I can draw you a little picture of this. That's me, over there. Not quite. Well, here we have life. There we have the law. We have a symbol here of the flesh, which is a problem. You see, in Romans 8:3, Paul talks about this and says that the law was weak through the flesh. The problem with the law is that while it was perfect, righteous and good, the problem is human beings were fallen, human beings had an old nature, and it simply was not possible, given the fallen nature, for man to perfect himself with the law. He would simply be exposed. His thoughts wrong, his actions ultimately wrong, and even the good that he did, wrong motive. I can remember a very famous New Zealander. You know the one, you probably would know him here. The man who climb Mount Everest. Right? And who was that? Yes, Sir Edmund Hillary. Sir. We have these sirs in the British, you know, Commonwealth. Sir this, sir that. Anyway, that's another story. But one of the things he said was, one day he was interviewed, and he said, well, I am helping the Nepalese and I'm helping all these other people, not to get into heaven, but because I just want to do it. I just want to do it. Either way you look at it, it doesn't really matter what you end up saying. One way or another, your nature, your fallen nature, comes out. Because hidden behind there, you could imagine pride. You could imagine, well, I really want to get the favor of people listening to me, so I'm going to talk this way. It's very hard to get up and say something with actually not exposing your fallen nature. Any way you go. We're just thankful we have the Word of God in front of us, that we can read it and understand it, because it's not fallen. It's pure, and we can read and understand it. So here, the law, yes, it could have given life if it were not for the fact that man was a fallen creature. So, what is he saying in this verse here in chapter 3? Is the law then against the promises of God? Well, the promises related to life, and no, the law was not against that promise. In that sense, that yes, if people were obedient to it, then it would have brought life. It was consistent with that, in that sense. Then, as you go down a little bit further, it says, I'll turn this off a little bit, in verse 22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin. The scripture hath concluded all under sin. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now, I'm going to just show this again. I'm going to go back a little bit, and I want to show you this verse here. Now you can see the word concluded. And you may not notice the form here, but you can see Chi here. And you can see over here, clay here, to show you it has the same root. It's the same word in different forms. So, but the scripture hath concluded corresponds with, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up. It's the same word which is translated in the next verse, shut up. Concluded and shut up in this context means the same thing. And it's used of nets. When you cast a net, net goes around the fish, surrounds the fish. They are concluded to an end. They have been shut up to an end. They've been shut up to a purpose. So in verse 22, but the scripture hath concluded, shut up, all under sin. What, for what reason? That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now, that's a big mouthful, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to break it up a bit. Look at this. So, the scripture hath shut up all under sin, that the promise, now, let's skip this part here, be given to them that believe. That the promise be given to them that believe. They're shut up for this purpose. So the scripture has a function here. The scripture has a function of shutting people up under sin, under this realm of sin. That, in order that this promise be given to them that believe. That's one of the functions of the scriptures. Second thing, look at this. It says that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Look, it doesn't mean an objective genitive. It doesn't mean your personal faith. It would make no sense to put your personal faith in there. The faith of Christ, meaning your personal faith in Christ. You'd have a complete nonsensical sentence here. That the promise by your personal faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe in Jesus Christ. You know, it just makes no sense. The context here is that all things have been shut in under sin in order that this momentous faithfulness of Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished could be given to those that believe. Perfect as it is, in your King James Bible, let me tell you, I'm a King James Bible believer. I am. Let's be straight out with it. Why am I a King James Bible believer? I'm a King James Bible believer because it comes from the right source. Man, do you want to drink downstream? Have you seen what gets put in upstream? Oh, man. Oh, man. I mean, it's the Ganges, man. You know, I don't care what the Hindus say. There's no way I'm getting anywhere near the Ganges. I don't want to drink downstream. I want to drink upstream. I want to get it from the source, man. And that's why, summarizing it all, that's why I'm a King James believer. Now, there's other benefits of that, of course, and one thing is that you get all these wonderful words. Now, people say, why do you use this old-fashioned Bible? It's got the these, thys, and thous. We don't speak like that. Yeah, what do you speak like? Yeah, I've heard how so many people speak. I'm not talking about in this congregation. I'm talking about people in this world, how they speak. And I don't really want to address God like that and the things of God. But anyway, the these, thys, and thous, they're a great help. Why? Well, all the TH words, these, thys, thous, they're all singular. The ye, the you, the yours, they are all plurals. Ye must be born again. Ye. See, he was talking with Nicodemus, one person, but then he says, ye must be born again. So then he's not simply addressing Nicodemus. If you look at it in the modern Bible and you take the ye, you must be born again, well, someone could argue, well, he's just talking about Nicodemus. See, King James, on the money, on the money. Rock of ages. Got you then, didn't I? Okay. So, that's why. But we can get on that. Now, we need to do a preaching sermon on the King James Bible. I've got a nice sermon on that, which I preached a long time ago. But that's a great one. So, the scripture hath concluded all under sin. That is, shut up all under sin. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ. His faithfulness. And we've discussed this many times. We've done it in the study. Those people who try and say that Jesus drew back in the Garden of Gethsemane, you've got it wrong. You've got it wrong. All right? He didn't draw back. He went all the way to the cross. Might be given to them that believe. Now, the next verse. Here it comes. Here come some big ideas. But before faith came, faith came. Faith came. Well then, in your Bible, there are times and seasons. And you cannot come into your Bible and pretend that the writer is talking about faith as Paul does here. I mean, there's been faith all the way through the Bible. You can find a statement in Hebrews 11. How about many patriarchs had faith of all kinds? Tremendous things going on with faith. So when he says, but before faith came, this must mean a particular faith. And it's the faith which is associated with what was accomplished by the faith of Jesus Christ. Before that faith. Before faith came, we were kept. Kept. What does that mean? That means to be guarded with a garrison. To be guarded with a garrison. We were kept under the law. Before faith came. So in your Bible, when you try and just say, oh, well, today I like to take this passage out of the Psalms, and I think I'll take everything that is in there to myself, then just remember that you'll be going to a time before faith came. Right? Don't treat the Bible with disrespect. We were kept under the law. Guarded. Shut up. Oh, netted. Not only were they guarded with a garrison, but they were blocked in on all sides. No way out of it. Except through the faith that was to come, and that is established through the faith of Christ, which should afterwards be revealed. Look at this. Which should afterwards be revealed. Revealed means an apocalypse, an unveiling, an unveiling. My friends, without taking the Bible seriously, without understanding that Paul is the one that does a lot of this unveiling, you're in trouble in your scriptures. Now, you might hear the gospel from some preacher. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord that you can get saved simply by believing in Jesus Christ's finished work. Thank the Lord, it's that simple. But my friends, what happens after salvation? After salvation, you should perfect your faith. You should grow. You should perform the right works that would be pleasing to God. And how do you know what the right works are? You have to go to the manual and you have to get God's instructions to you. But hold on, we're told here that there was a time before faith came. It came and it was revealed. Look at this. Faith came and it was revealed. It came and was revealed. Let me ask you, who reveals it? Who is the one that is doing this revealing to us? Well, it's Paul. Paul is doing it. Paul is a most important factor in all of our understanding of the Scriptures. Now let's look at this. So you know this, hopefully. I write his name like this. You say it's the same thing. Not quite. A little bit different to here. There's Paul. Paul, who had the ministry to the Jew first. He would go to the Jew first. He brought with him the hope of Israel. He establishes the promises given to Israel. He says to you, Gentiles, yes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Jew first, man. That's in Romans 1. In Romans 11, he talks about the olive. Yes, the Gentiles were grafted in with this unnatural graft, and they partook of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, and by faith they could be reckoned with the seed. Okay, that's great. Now, what about over here? Well, unfortunately, at Acts 28, Israel said, no, no, after all of what's been given, after the Spirit had been given here in Acts chapter 2, and they went out in the power of the Holy Ghost, and the apostles came with the signs of apostles, they had the powers and authorities. Man, they had all sorts of powers. People would die in their presence, or they'd come to life in their presence. There's all sorts of things that went on. Now, after all of this witness of the Holy Spirit, Israel still said, no. Okay, God says, so be it. Then you are lo ami. You are not my people. You are not my people. And he said the salvation of God therefore is sent to the Gentiles. And Paul then receives a new message. It was given to him as Paul the prisoner. The prisoner. And he was given a new ministry, a new message that came with it. And so, what do we see? We see, therefore, in Paul's writings, a division. There's a division. Because he wrote during this time. So during this time, he writes letters. In this time, he writes letters. They can't be the same. Oh, sure, there'll be some things that will contain similar things and ideas. But here was revealed the mystery, which was hid from ages and hid in God. And to him was revealed this, and he makes this plain. Why am I a part of Northside? Because Northside's interested in teaching this and promoting this. And that's right. That's what we need to make all. What does it say? What does it say in your Bible? Ephesians 3:9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That's what we've got to do, man. One way or another. Maybe what we got to do is, you know, get some tough guys in here and start breaking some arms or something. That's a very fleshly message there. Some way, we've got to find some way of doing it. So here we've got this neat statement. But before faith came, okay, so therefore faith came, but there was a time before that. We were kept under the law. Now, it does say we. I've got a question. Isn't there Gentiles here? We were kept under the law. Well, when you think about the Gentiles, they were without hope in the world. As peoples, their only hope was that the nation of Israel would be the channel of blessing to them. They were to be the kingdom of priests. They were the ones who were to be passing on this truth. We were kept under the law because the only hope they had was through this Israel. Being obedient, kept on the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Yes, okay. So, before this time, okay, as we go back, and this is Acts 2 here, alright, so over here we have the cross. So as we go back here and we read books like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, when we read back here, this is time before the cross, work of Christ, you'll find, for example, let's do this, I just thought of this now. Go to Matthew chapter 23. Let's have a look at this. You'll find things that pertain to before faith came. The faith of Christ was in his work and going all the way to the cross at Calvary. Now look at Matthew 23. And it says this. It says this in verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. They were to be obedient to the law. That was their place and their purpose. Man, there's things in here which are hard to digest. I mean, look at this. If you don't rightly divide, that is. Look at this passage. Have a look at Mark. Mark's Gospel, and we'll go to chapter 16 and verse number 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. This is another reason why I believe the King James, because this is in there. When you go to a lot of other Bibles, you find that verses start being chopped because they come from a different source. It says this in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, that sounds cool. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Wait a minute. Now let's see. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. So before it's revealed, they are enclosed. They are guarded about. They can't escape from it. The scripture guards about under sin. It had a function to bring people to Christ. But while it is in operation, it's in operation. You can't go against it. When the law is in action, it's in action. It has an administration. Let me just hold your place here before I keep reading here. I want you to compare one more verse. This is Galatians 3 and verse 12. Look at this. I want you to get the implications now. The implications are huge. They enable you to understand a lot of what's gone on before. It says this in verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Shall live in them. The man that doeth them shall live in them. And by the way, when Jesus says all that those that sit in Moses' seat, that all those say you do, he means it. And there are consequences for breaking the law. You live or you die. Okay. Now go back to Mark. Let's look at the rest of this. And it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, you believe and you're baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. There is the administration of things before. Some things continue after faith came. The signs and the wonders continued on through here. Well, did they survive this boundary? Looks like they survived the faith boundary, didn't they? They survived the faith boundary. The signs and the wonders survived those. But did they survive the Acts 28 boundary? No, they didn't. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that you must rightly divide Paul's ministries. And if you don't, you're going to have a problem. While Paul was going to the Jew, yes, there were all sorts of interesting things going on to reach Israel. And after they said no, well, there's no need for them. And we can prove that and show you more about that. We've done that in the series. But I wanted your point. The main point in here was verse 16, where it talks about salvation and baptism. Believing and baptism. Okay? These things associated with the law. These things associated with righteousness. And people who would truly believe, of course, they would perfectly perform these things. Okay, let's carry on to Galatians and chapter 3. And I just want to finish off, because we're just about hooked out of all this. It says in verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept, that is, guarded by a garrison, under the law. Interpretation, when you're reading, before this faith came, remember that. Don't try and read things that have been revealed later into things in the past. You can't do it. Shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. It was to bring them to Christ. And that is backed up in verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, pedagogue, a schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. That was the function of the law. It was to bring them to Christ. They were to see, man, look at all these things that we're doing, and we still can't perfect ourselves. We need the sacrifice of Christ, the one and only. That's what was supposed to happen. Now, over here I've got a couple more slides. Here's the concluded, okay, which is to be shut up, that the promise be given to the believers, those that believe. The faith of Christ was accomplished and did all these things. Jesus Christ went all the way to the cross and completed all the work to be done. Oh, look at that. So here, faith came and was revealed. Faith came and was revealed. So what have we got? We've got this picture. We've got the promise. We know that it cannot be disannulled or added to.
We have the Ten Commandments. To those were added the law, the addition of the law. Those are all the statutes and judgments that Moses gave. Guarded about, this one here, enclosed to the faith that should be revealed.
Cool.
Okay, and over here, what's this about? Well, this is about the revelation of something good. This is all I could find.
So there's the revelation of something really nice and tasty and excellent. I hope this has been a tasty message to you, that you have learned something good. There was something here that I was going to show you, which
the promise here, which was, while Abraham slept, something was given to him that he could not contract with. It was simply promised to him by God. And because of this, we have security. I'm not too interested in my faith, which wavers. But the faith of Christ, rock solid. That's why he is the rock. Rock of ages. Huh? Okay, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this message. All the truth that comes from the Scriptures. We pray, our Father, that we would learn more and more as we attend and study in our own lives, but more importantly, Lord, now that we've learned so much, that we would simply put these things in place in our lives that would change our very way of life. And Lord, we thank thee for the confidence we have. In Christ's name, amen.
His name is
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.